from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Where you been, Ursula? I'm telling you right now. Yesterday was Monday, and the show was off the hook.
It got off the rails, Ursula. I heard, and I'm so glad I wasn't here because I'm going to call it the Gluttons for Punishment show.
Yeah.
I heard that you asked for input as to what people hated about the show.
Yep. Sure did.
You're nuts.
Ursula, what?
As if you have to have that encouragement.
One of the things that folks said is, I don't like it when you say Ursula, Ursula, all throughout the show.
I think you want to give the impression that you're really listening and engaged, and people are like, I see right through that.
You know what they also hate, Ursula? When G says yes or no, yes or no.
You know who else hates that?
Wait a minute. Laughing hysterically.
Oh, I know.
Some folks don't like that either.
I know.
They say we laugh too much.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
I will take the blame for that one.
All right, Ursula, what's on deck today?
Well, okay, how frustrating is it when you are at SeaTac Airport, you've waited in the TSA line, and then suddenly some other travelers are able to skip that long wait. They cut in front of you. The person's name is G. Well, we're going to tell you about one state that wants to get rid of CLEAR.
Yeah.
You have some strong opinions about that.
Right.
I have some strong opinions about
that.
And we want to hear from you. Our text line is 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. And as I always say, you are a very important part of our show.
Let's get to it. Top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40 Susu in Auburn.
An Auburn man went to the Muckleshoot Casino with the intent of killing an acquaintance, but told police that he killed someone else when he couldn't find his original target. A King County judge has now set bail at $5 million for Ricky Fuentes, who is expected to be charged with first-degree murder. The victim's girlfriend tells Cairo 7 TV that he actually called her during the attack, but she couldn't hear very much. And she says he was just starting to turn his life around.
That man murdered the love of my life. It is what it is. I hope he goes to jail.
When police arrived at the casino around 1:30 on Sunday morning, it was busy. The victim was on the floor near the craps table where he had been sitting. He had a large cut on his neck. A box cutter was found nearby. Police spokesman Colby Crossley says this kind of random attack, and again, police are believing at this point that it was random, he says this is highly unusual.
That's a scary situation, and we just, you know, the only thing you can really do is just be aware of your surroundings when you're in a crowded place like that.
Is it random or is it not random? And one of the things, as we talked about this yesterday, Ursula, I had a source that tell me, I don't believe this to be random. But so far, this is looking like it is random. The new details that we got and saw that you have given us is that this person was going there looking for someone else. He had roamed around for 3 hours, according to what's been said in the court documents. Roamed around for 3 hours, didn't find the person that he was looking for, and according to what they're saying, is he went up and he just randomly stabbed this person in the neck. So far, what's scary about this, first, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family and loved ones. But when it comes to this topic right here, it is scary to think that you could just be at a slot machine or a table and something, your life can end in that way, just out of nowhere. This is really scary right there, because I always think most of the times there's a connection somehow. It's not random. This is unusual.
Yeah. Well, this is the first time we're reporting on something like this, something this horrific happening inside this particular casino, but one in general. But it does raise questions about what kind of security? I mean, in any crowded place, whether you're at a crowded mall, not that they get that crowded anymore, but, you know, whether you're in any sort of place, should we see heightened security measures? I know that at that particular casino, because I have been there, I think I recently told you I stayed at the hotel. It's a brand new hotel.
Which I heard is nice.
Beautiful.
Okay.
And when you go walk through the casino, you actually have to give them your ID. You cannot go in without they will scan your driver's license.
Yep.
And I don't know if they have it's not a metal detector like a metal detector that you would have at SeaTac Airport. But, I mean, they got a lot of security before you go in.
You walk through that.
Yeah, you have to walk. So I would say at that particular casino, the security is more than certainly that I see at Vegas.
Sure.
So the question would be, I mean, was there anything that anyone could have done to prevent this? I mean, the guy that was attacked, he was sitting at a craps table, and this attacker claimed that he saw the victim, quote, being a bully at the craps table, and decided to stab him because he couldn't find. I mean, the guy's not, and the guy who is the suspect apparently has. I looked it up, so he has an assault.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, he has an assault on his record, and he has reckless driving. But certainly, what happened here on that early Sunday morning, that just does not make sense.
So real quick, before you move on, Ursula, so the next part of this discussion, and I think the question that you're asking is this.
Do you want more security?
Do you want more security? Now, they're not all casinos have the security the way that the Emerald Queen Casino has it. Because right now in Emerald Queen Casino, when I go there, you need to, same as you're talking about, they're going to take your ID. They're going to scan it. You're going to walk through something to where and you can't have anything over your face. So they want to scan your face and they want to make sure you're not having anything on your person. Same thing similar with the Muckleshoot. Now, there are other casinos right now where you can just kind of walk in. So the question is do you want more security? On Sunday, I went to brunch. I was going to share this with you guys yesterday, but I'll tell you, went to brunch. Had a fantastic time, by the way. I posted the pictures of it. But here's what I didn't like. I didn't like when I went to the brunch, I had to get patted down and wanded and everything.
Where did you eat?
Yeah, see? Exactly. And my thing is this, and I even told my wife, I was like, you know what? I understand what they're doing. They have a job to do. No doubt. So I wasn't upset with security or anything.
This is at a restaurant.
Yes. Yes.
Pat down.
Yes.
Okay. Where did you eat?
I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? I don't want to put the place out there. I don't want to do that.
Is that this local?
Fremont area. Yes.
I've never heard of such a thing in my life.
Exactly. So exactly. And I told Lily, and she knows I get annoyed. I was so mad that I wanted to leave then, but I stayed there because it was a buddy of mine. It was his wife's birthday, so I stayed there for the brunch. But
Fremont?
Yes, Ursula, in Fremont. They do, it's a brunch area. It's a place, an establishment there, and they have the music going on. So, when you stand there, the security is in the front right there with loaded weapons and everything. I was thinking.
I don't want that.
If I have to go to a place like that,
there's a reason I need to be worried.
Bingo. So back to your question, is that what you all want? Would that make you feel better about going somewhere if you have to get the pat down and do all these things?
Now, I also know that certainly at casinos they have security cameras everywhere. I would want to know that there would be a very quick response, and I know that there are a lot of things that need to be answered about this particular incident. But again, can you prevent a random attack like that? I don't know. But love to hear from you. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. Seattle police believe members of University of Washington's athletic department knew about and even discussed a rape allegation against Tybo Rogers before allowing him to keep playing in the fall. This is according to a new report in the Seattle Times. The newspaper got a document through a public disclosure request that shows that emails were sent within the department 2 days after one of Rogers' alleged victims posted on social media about the rape. The woman had also filed a Title IX report against him. And the emails confirmed that he had been removed from the travel roster for the Pac-12 championship game on December 1st. The Times reports one screenshot shows a text message that was sent December 6th to an unidentified UW football coach asking that coach to share contact information for a defense attorney with Rogers. Another screenshot showed the director of football player development messaging then UW head coach Kalen DeBoer the same day and asked, this is a quote, WTF did Tybo do? I got people blowing me up about it. I won't say anything if you don't want me to, obviously, but I was just on ESPN radio and somebody brought it up. So Rodgers returned to practice on December 15th. Again, he played in the Sugar Bowl on January 1st, and he also played the national championship game on January 8th. Your thoughts on these new revelations?
Well, University of Washington and the coaching staff, you got caught. You got caught doing something, and now it's all out in the open. And the unfortunate part is the coaching staff that was there in place, they're gone now. They have moved on. One is the head coach of the University of Alabama. The other one is offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. They moved on. So I don't know what kind of questions. I don't know what kind of responsibility they have. But I do know this. I do know that when it comes to this young man, there were warning signs early on before all of this happens. And the reason why I know this, because I do have someone that I know close to the team that told me so, that there were warnings about this young man previous. So there were things that happened. Something happened. We don't know what it was, but it's out there. It's been reported. He was suspended early on towards the end of last summer in the early fall. Whatever that was, that hasn't been reported. It was a team issue. All of these things that have taken place with this young man after, they happened after whatever the event was at the end of last summer and early fall.
So he already had something that should have raised their awareness. And then, although he denies the charges, there were enough red flags involving this particular player that should have been ample reason to bench him. But they didn't. Instead, they found ways to keep playing him. And then you wonder why women who report sexual assaults feel like they aren't taken seriously.
Yep.
And why they are reluctant to do so. The women in this case did everything right. They reported the alleged rapes to police. One also reported him to the university's Title IX office, which investigates complaints of sexual misconduct by students and staff. They did what they were supposed to do, and still the protection was all about this player. And it says one thing. Sports and money take precedence over doing the right thing at the University of Washington.
I want to share something with you. And this has nothing. And by the way, this is not a story about, this is not University of Washington connected. When it comes to college football specifically, each big team, Power Five team, has a close media towards that. Like they have a following, like where they cover the team. They have different websites. They have different affiliations that cover the team. They know about the recruiting, who's coming, where this, what this recruit's about, and they're from them. And so sometimes if you're listening right now, you are probably on one of those websites, right? Like the University of Washington football team, they have websites that are connected. Here's my point where I'm going to it. They know a lot. Right? I mean, a lot. More so, they might hear me talking. They say, oh, that G doesn't know what he's talking about. We know. Okay, fair. You do know. That's the problem. Because sometimes a lot of these folks that cover the team, they know a lot of this stuff, but they will protect the team and not report on these things. So I bet you that what's going on with this Tybo kid, they have known this, but they have not. They don't want to come out and report those things because it would make and shine a negative light on the team. Hence the reason why Urban Meyer, when he was at Ohio State, we never heard anything. All of a sudden, Urban Meyer goes to be a head coach in a pro football league. How long that lasts? It lasted less than a year. Why? Because he didn't have that same protection.
Yeah, that's just sickening. And by the way, excuse me, the former coach, Kalen DeBoer, like you said, you know, he's off. He moved on to another job. The former athletic director, Troy Dannon, he's off. Former offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, he has another job. They all have some explaining to do, but conveniently, they are not responding to requests for comment. And I'm going to say the one who should get credit is the current Husky coach, who like, hey, this all happened before me. And by the way, this particular player now has new charges. Did you see that?
Stemming from an assault in March.
Yeah, where a bicycle rider said that he got the you-know-what beaten out of him by this player and another player because they were telling him to get off the road. The bicyclist spat on, I think, the driver, mm-hmm. and they got out of the car and beat the you-know-what out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say this again.
I'm going to be very crystal clear. A lot of these sites that are connected to these football teams know way more than most people do. And they know these things early on, but they want to make sure that the recruiting goes well. So they'll make sure sometimes to not report things that will show a negative light on their university.
Mm.
You got that look on your face, Ursula.
Yeah, just the ones who suffer are the women in this case. Yeah.
Because sometimes
all women.
I think the reason why I see the look on your face like that because sometimes you hear people say, "Not our university. Our university is better than this university because we are this prestigious football team." And then when you find out, oh, money has you guys a certain type of way, too. Then you start to realize, well, maybe, just maybe, that money is controlling a lot of college football. Just maybe. Huh. Good stuff, Ursula. So good to have you back. What do you want to talk about next here?
We've got a bunch of stories that are left over from our top stories. We kind of went a little deep there.
Yeah, we did.
But I would also love to talk about this thing having to do with security at the airport.
So there's a lot of people that are upset. Are you? Should they get rid of CLEAR at the airport? Well, Ursula's going to help us understand what's going on next. It is the Gina Ursula Show.
People traveling in the spring and summer, more and more people are going to the airport, and I think it's becoming an exercise of frustration for a lot of folks, especially those who end up waiting in security lines only to have other people who've paid to jump to the front. So is it fair for some people to skip the security lines at the airport? We're talking about whether it's TSA, pre-check, or CLEAR. More and more passengers are paying to be able to jump to the front of the line. And right now, there is a bipartisan proposal in California that would ban line skipping, specifically for passengers who use CLEAR. So Senator Josh Newman tells CBS Money Watch that he wants to ban CLEAR in California because it's a basic fairness issue. He says the service effectively lets wealthier folks skip in front of other passengers. So what do you think? I mean, for people who don't know, because for the longest time, I never even paid attention to the people who were trying to get me to buy it. CLEAR costs about $190 per year. And TSA PreCheck, which I finally got, that's good for like 5 years, I believe. It's a lot cheaper.
Is TSA PreCheck free?
No.
Okay, so you have to pay money for that extra service. So it's the same thing, right? I figured out the problem. I didn't know what the problem was. First, we have a problem with TSA in them and CLEAR. That's the disconnect. In it, right here, the president of AFGE, the Local 1232, the TSC Officers Union, basically they're saying this: while CLEAR may save time for its paying customers, non-customers suffer from CLEAR's aggressive sales tactics mm-hmm. and longer security lines while they enter an essential security screening process. So what's happening is we, the people, the kids, are stuck in the middle of mom and dad arguing. Now, all I did was to say, oh, okay, a little extra to help me with time. If now you want to throw it, by the way, I always think it's cute now when people throw in the, well, what about equity? Stop with that. Because TSA, that costs money too.
But so you are someone who does fight for the less privileged.
I'm very consistent in my fight, all right? And if you're going to say that clear is for the privilege, then you have to use the same argument by saying TSA PreCheck is the same thing.
What? No, you don't, because TSA PreCheck actually...
Does it cost money?
It does cost money, but it's for a longer period of time. And it's idea that I think
you go through a background check.
You go through a background check. Yes.
I can make that stretch though.
It's not just purely for the ability to go faster.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Come on, Ursula. Are you going to say that with a straight face? Are you just trying to play devil's advocate?
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
Okay, all right. I didn't know which way you were trying to do.
Yeah. That said, though, I mean, I think one is more affordable than the other.
Okay, well, I'm glad you bring that up. So here's what's been happening. If you have Clear right now and you're saying, gee, I've been going to SCA and that Clear line has been ridiculous. I know that to be true. I know that too as well. What has happened is Clear has made it and teamed up and partnered with American Express, different credit cards, where you get a better deal. So that's why more and more people are in the Clear line. As a matter of fact, Ursula, sometimes it is slower to go through Clear than it is TSA PreCheck. Now, one last problem, and here's where it got funky. It got funky because of this. When you have Clear, you come in, you can either give your eyes or your fingerprint. And once you're done, they bring you over. And they actually escort you in front of the line of people standing there. That's a problem. Because I always feel weird anyway. Excuse me. He's good to go. And then the people standing there looking like, who is this person? They should have had a Clear lane that's just only Clear. But they can't do that because TSA is in charge. So if that's the case, let's get rid of Clear and let's give different levels to TSA. We have a problem with two entities bumping heads.
Get rid of them both. Get rid of them both, G, because as you point out, TSA PreCheck is about getting through the security line faster. The only difference is you have to plan ahead of time. You can't get it at the airport, right? So you got to go down to the office, submit your paperwork. But here's the deal, man. What do you think disqualifies you from TSA PreCheck? If within the last 5 years you have one of a number of felonies, you can't get PreCheck. But after 5 years, you can. Basically, the only thing that bars you from getting TSA PreCheck all time is if you've been found to have a bomb, committed murder, or you're guilty of treason, and basically like three or four other equivalent charges. So who are we letting go through the line faster? People who have not been proven to have committed a crime within the last 5 years. But misdemeanors don't count. Threats, intimidation, harassment, misdemeanors don't count. So let's stop pretending like TSA PreCheck is keeping us safe. It's also pay to play. Like, how do you think somebody like Senator Jeff Wilson got a gun through TSA?
Paul and DuPont says the PreCheck fee is $80 for the background check. Clear is money to cut the line.
It's all this. Okay, I get that. I mean, we can sit here and like, oh, gee, I thought you were for the. First of all,
you know, I'll tell you what is equitable. SEA Spot Saver cost you nothing.
Okay.
It's available to everybody.
But
you can save your spot in line.
That's fair. But I just want to make sure that we're clear on something. Just clear. No pun intended. If we or you or anybody else pays for something, you should not be made to feel bad about, well, what about others, right? So if you fly first class or if you buy business class or if you do these things, that doesn't mean that you think that you're better. You're buying those things for convenience, whether it's a hotel or it's a restaurant. Why would you go pay that for that steak there? Why didn't your prom committee just go to Denny's for...
Right? So like, oppressed when those people walk by in first class and they get... Dude, like the airport is the most socially stratified place in the world. If you're going first class or business class, great. You don't get the same privilege at the TSA line. They have the agents there. Just open a different line, not for the people that pay. Why not?
Well,
you think we're safer?
We got beef. We got beef with Clear and TSA. That's what this is about. And now they put us into
it. And you have both.
Yeah, I got both. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you using? TSA pre-check? I can't believe I didn't do it for so many years.
No.
Like just within the last year.
Can we talk about the outrageous lines when you go to, like, wherever you're going, Alaska, whatever, and you get ready to go to board, like you want to put your bags away and all that kind of stuff? Those lines? And then you have the first class line where people can just go right up there and just...
Yeah, I don't know about
this.
This
is a capitalistic society that we live in, right? Oh, that's another thing. I can't say society anymore.
Oh.
I say that too much.
Oh, is an airport a public good paid for by taxpayers?
Yes.
Yes.
So you should have tiered entry to that? Got it.
No.
Yeah. All right. Hey, coming up on the Gia and Ursa Show, we talk about stay-at-home parents. And maybe you listening right now, you're a stay-at-home parent. Well, there is a study that reveals the time and cost that's required to be a stay-at-home parent. We talk about next. Gia and Ursa. Excited telling the story. Ursa said, G, we're on. Oh, okay. My bad. Don't you like
You were telling me about Lake Chelan.
Yeah, boy.
And the fact that you're going to be camping at Lake Chelan.
Well, no. Wait.
Well, glamping. Glamping.
I'm not even doing that. What do you call
RVing.
It when you got friends, they have all the nice campers. They're going to be in Chelan for Memorial Day weekend.
And glamping.
Okay, they're going to be glamping. I got me and Lily in a nice Airbnb. We're going to be chilling, and then we'll come out there and hang out with you. And then when it's time to go to bed, we back at the place. So
okay. That's
our Memorial Day weekend in Chelan. Here we go. We need to talk, everybody. And what do we need to talk about? How much money are stay-at-home parents worth? If you're a stay-at-home parent, how much are you worth? Well, what is the value of your labor? A new study out of the EU looked at how much it would cost to hire someone to provide that labor in 80 global cities. Researchers say that stay-at-home parents perform an average of 155 hours on parental and household tasks each month. That number jumps to 200 hours with two kids. Based on the research, a stay-at-home parent would be paid between $1 million and $1.25 million if they perform the same labor on the open market. That's for the top cities in the United States of America.
And that was over 20 years.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I did some simple math, because you know your boy can't go that high in the millions. So I did it simple. Let's go the 155 hours. If you just make or just perform 155 hours a month, which is they're saying is the standard, at $20 an hour, that's $3,100 a month. Now, if you got two kids in that same month, it goes up to 200 hours for two kids. That means $4,000 a month. So if you have somebody, if you're married to somebody that tries to talk some mess about you being a stay-at-home parent, tell them that you are worth $4,000 a month. How about that?
I think that's low. I think it's incredibly low.
Yep.
And I will say that this study says that it's between $4,000 and $5,200 per month, looking at a handful of American cities. I mean, they're breaking it down to, your tasks are cleaning, cooking, shopping, laundry, transportation, emotional support, tutoring, planning administrative tasks. And then they're basing it on that. They're basing it on incredibly low pay for these particular, they broke it down to 20 hours of cleaning per month, 23 hours of cooking, 16 hours of, you know, ferrying kids back and forth, and probably used the lowest number per hour in terms of how much that would be worth.
Mm-hmm.
Corny as it sounds, but I think the ability to stay at home with your kids, honestly, is priceless. And I say that as a working mom. I say that as someone who envied moms and parents who were able to stay home with their kids. And I know that it can, I also had stay-at-home parent friends who said it can be very isolating and very lonely. And I miss that adult companionship or just interactions with adults at work. But those are years that you cannot get back. I mean, you know, I've told you that if there's anything I regret, it's the years that I had spent here at Cairo, where I would come here in the morning and come home late at night.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get those back. And so I look at that and I think you're not giving them enough credit for how much that work it's really invaluable.
Okay, so let me ask this then. First of all, I thank you for sharing, you know, back from when you were a parent, a working parent. Let me ask you this. Do we judge those that are stay-at-home parents? Do we have an opinion when let's just say the woman stays home and her significant other is rich, or turn it around? What if the man is a stay-at-home and the woman is out there? So if we are talking about these numbers, and we are clearly, everybody texting in is saying right now, oh my goodness, that's way low, and they're giving examples. So then why do we have a stigma and a certain judgment on those that do stay home?
That has existed since the beginning of time, it seems. I think it has gotten better. I think as people understand that more, but it's always, and I'll just say that it's always comparing yourself to others. What I'm doing, you don't have it as nearly as hard as I do. I think one of the hardest jobs is to be a stay-at-home parent. Mm. That is not an easy job. To do it well is not easy. Sometimes I think going to work is easier. Oftentimes I think going to work is easier. And I think it's just natural to always compare yourself to others. And I think that especially men who are stay-at-home parents, I think there is still a stigma. It's getting more accepted, mm-hmm. but there is still that stigma attached, like, well, gee.
I think the stigma has changed, though.
It has.
Because it used to be, oh, what are you doing with your life? Ha, ha, ha. Like that kind of thing. Now when someone tells me they're a stay-at-home parent or their partner is, I think, what do you do for work that allows you that privilege? Right? I don't think of it as like a burden or settling. I think of it as a privilege for families that can afford it.
Yeah.
Can I? You know me. I'm always oversharing with y'all. Can I overshare something with you?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's like this dish, like yesterday, I ate out of something from the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And when I was done, I put it in the sink and I wink, wink, put the water in there for it to soak. Because deep down, I knew
someone else was going to put it away.
I know my wife, and she's going to come home, and she doesn't say a word. And she's like, oh, she just takes care of it, and boom, it's right there. But it is so hard for me to wash out that dish.
Why?
I don't know. And I probably shouldn't admit it, but I'm just being honest with y'all. I don't know. I got issues. Coming up next, we'll tell you what's new at 10. It's Jen Ursula.